Bears a Microsoft Office 365 MVP who knows practically everything there is about Office 365. He does stand-up events talking about Office 365. He writes about Office 365 on his blog site, and he does in-person training sessions and training videos about Office 365. There's also me, Mark Keane. I'm the voiceover guy and producer of this podcast. I'm also a Microsoft Azure MVP and a Microsoft Azure architect, helping people move to Microsoft Azure and consume it by helping them to make sense of it. This is a Need to Know podcast with Robert Crane and Mark Keane.
Contact us by email.
Feedback@needtoknow.cloud. It's your destination for anything Microsoft Cloud, including Azure and Office 365. And
Office 365. And Office 365. And Office 365.
Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and joining me across on the other side of the interweb is my regular cohort, Mark Keane. Mark, welcome.
Hello, it's episode 120 this time around.
Yes, we're getting into the big numbers now, three digits. We're going on to 200, so we're progressing through quite a number of episodes. But importantly, how have you recovered from your jet lag upon returning from the United States?
The jet lag has been pretty brutal. First day I got back was very, very bad. Going over was not so bad, but coming back was the worst ever. Trying very hard to stay awake.
Unfortunately, it's not a good idea to come back on a Monday. I think that probably later in the week or on a weekend, at least to give you one sleep in. But yes, the secret seems to be that you keep pushing yourself until it gets dark, and then you go to sleep. But that certainly does make it hard on that first day through. So get a quick appreciation of how far Australia is from the rest of the world once you start traveling to the other side of the world. So good to hear that you've recovered, and hopefully that you've been up to date with the Azure news. So why don't we kick it off with you just letting us know what's come across your radar when it comes to Microsoft of late.
So with Azure, lots of stuff has been happening over the last week. In fact, the biggest news item is Satya Nadella, CEO of Microsoft, has came to Sydney and Melbourne. He did a Microsoft developer event, and he talked about...
He wasn't on the same plane as you, was he? Didn't sit across the aisle from you on the plane back?
He may have been, because...
Maybe he was closer to the pointy end, perhaps.
Possibly, yeah. I think right at the front. He would have had a better sleep than I would have, with no jet lag. Yeah, but that's the beauty of Satya Nadella, who got paid, I think, $18.2 million, I should
million,
say.
Million, not billion. Not a Bill Gates.
Not yep. billion. No, back in 2014, he was registered at taking $18.2 million, which is an obscene amount of money. But he came to Sydney to woo developers all about Microsoft, and he did that very, very, very well at the Star City Casino in Sydney, and the theme was all about AI, artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I think I've got a link to the recording if people do want to watch it. Obviously, it's interesting for him to travel such a long way. I also see the article that I will reference in the in the show notes here, that he also had some time to go to a local school. He also did some interactions with some students there and had a look at some of the software and the way they were using the Microsoft technology. So again, very, very interesting. Again, there's obviously other things on his plate when he came over besides just the presentation, but it's good to finally get him on our shores and assure him that the correct way to denominate date is always day, month, year, not month, day, year, like they seem to do elsewhere.
That's right. And one of the announcements was that Microsoft have released or have got now the world's biggest bot supercomputer in the cloud. So that's like for the bot service, which we'll talk about shortly, which has also come out. But they've got the biggest supercomputer, and he was he basically said, similar to what Bill Gates was saying, is that he wants a bot on every in every household. Hang on, where is it? It's if we go up here, I've got it written down here somewhere.
You're not telling me this is Terminator days, is it? And we're not going to equate Microsoft with Skynet, are we?
Well, if you remember back in 1980, Bill Gates was famously known He said he wants the computer on every single desk and in every home, and that came true. So basically, Satya Nadella said something similar, that he wants bots and artificial intelligence in every single home. So whether that comes true or not, I reckon it probably will. Microsoft being Microsoft. But yeah, but basically,
well, I don't think it's necessarily. I was going to say, I don't think it's just necessarily Microsoft. I think this is an overall trend we're seeing, and it's linked to the automation. A lot of the stuff can be automated directly. Things like Microsoft Teams in Office 365 now support the ability to have a bot where you can basically go in and ask a question. It'll give you tutorials and do its best to answer. Things like the ordering, which we have seen in the Worldwide Partner Conference presentation. So it's simply an easier interface over the automation side of things. But it certainly is impressive when you begin to consider what applications it could have. So lots and lots of places, from ordering to requesting for help, doing all sorts of things. So there's no doubt that obviously the bot side of it and the automation is going to grow quite significantly, I think, in the very short term.
Well, the other news was Microsoft Azure has announced the industry's first cloud bot as a service. It's called Azure Bot Service, which is a new service built on the new Microsoft Bot Framework and new Azure Functions. With this new cloud service, you can build, connect, deploy, manage intelligent bots that interact naturally wherever your users are talking. So all you need to do is basically plug into Microsoft's cognitive services, enable your bots to see, hear, interpret, and interact in more human ways. The Azure Bot Service uses an Azure Resource Manager template. That's how you do it. You create Azure Functions out for easy deployment. Automatically registers your bot in the Microsoft Bot Framework, provides a public bot directory as well to increase exposure to your bot. So it's fairly easy. It's all PaaS based. So more information on that, we'll put a link in the show notes.
All right, so I also hear that Azure has released the general availability of the N series of machines.
That's right. So NVIDIA, the video powerful virtual machines. So there's a few different series of those, and those are NVIDIA virtual machines. Each video card is worth around about $7,500 just for one video card. We mentioned this on an earlier podcast, but that is like obscene amounts of money. But basically, it allows for the CUDA, which is the process to take place on the video card itself. But yeah, they're basically here now, and definitely too with those is it helps with the artificial intelligence. So the N series and the H series are both really high-end, high-performance virtual machines offering in Azure. And the supercomputer that Satya Nadella was talking about all leverages off the H and the N series with RDMA capabilities, which is remote direct memory access, and that enables very, very low latency when it comes to the computers talking to each other. So in other words, it's InfiniBand is what it's known as, for the computers to talk to each other. So a whole bunch of these H and N series together in a massive cluster enables for the bots and artificial intelligence to come across.
All right, so here's another Azure one for you. What can you tell us now about the ability to back up directly from the virtual machine blade inside the Azure portal?
Yes, well, that's just come out recently. So so now you can back up virtual machines directly from the portal, which is a new thing that's come across, because before it was in the old portal, wasn't it, Rob?
Yeah, look, I mean, there was that ability to do it. It did sort of a snapshot. I mean, I haven't had a chance to play with it myself. I'd be interested to see what the functionality is. I would assume in the resource manager they're going to give us some more options. Hopefully we get the ability to, get a bit more granular control. We can schedule in the old portal, but this is certainly going to be a big bonus to people who really want to back up their virtual machines on a regular basis. So there were other ways of doing it, but to have that ability now rolled directly into the portal, I think, is going to make, again, another great reason to look at Azure to move your virtual machines. And I would hope so that they also provide the ability to do this via PowerShell, and that may also allow us to go in and use the automation, the runbook style thing, to automate those backups. And again, that if that is the case, and certainly believe that it is, or it will certainly be coming shortly, that again, another great reason to start moving more and more of the infrastructure into something like Azure.
Also too, Azure Functions has now been GA'd. Now Azure Functions has just been, it replaces, it's huge, but this is big news actually, because it replaces the classic ASM worker roles and web roles. Azure Function runs in Azure Resource Manager and runs as PaaS. Benefit being, you only pay for exactly what you use and no more. So it's no longer the case with a worker role where you paid for pretty much the whole entire thing as is, and not just what you use, because it's more like IaaS based. So Azure Function is, because it's PaaS, it's a very, very low footprint. It enables you to configure things called bindings to services with just a few clicks. Bindings can be set for services to trigger a function. For example, bindings configured for Azure Storage, they could trigger a function when a new file is uploaded, for example. Functions is built with the open source community in GitHub, which is also nice to hear. The Functions team has been actively engaged in customer discussions and feedback. Over 900 GitHub issues were raised and addressed, helping the team to deliver high quality production ready service. I think this is like the major step forward for closing down the old portal, the old ASM based portal in Azure. Because if you remember too, Rob, the classic with the worker roles and web roles. Now that Azure Functions is here, it's no longer sort of needed to do the classic versions of the worker roles and web roles.
Yeah, so again, I think we're seeing, again, as we expect, the Microsoft Azure stuff to really be on a tear. They're obviously releasing a lot of stuff, GA-ing it after the Ignite, adding more and more features into it, which is great to see. So let me give a bit of a counterpoint before we get too deep into the Azure side of it. Let me mention that the Office 365, what we've seen is the Outlook Customer Manager now. It's basically a simplified, I suppose, CRM, but it's only currently available for the business premium SKU. So if you have the business premium SKU, you will get what's called the Outlook Customer Manager, so basic CRM that allows you to see all your customer details directly in your Outlook. So again, a handy little feature that Microsoft is adding. This is on top of the bookings option, which Microsoft also added to that SKU. Hopefully we'll see those roll out to the E3 and the E5 SKU as well, so that some of the enterprise SKUs can get access to some of these, which is, I think, a very handy feature, because not all small businesses necessarily, or not all businesses, reside totally on the Office, on the business premium SKU, so that will be good to share that. The other thing that we've got is that the team news in a SharePoint team site. So again, the new interface allows you to go in and put your team news quickly and easily. So that is now able to be authored directly using iOS devices. So again, you can be on the go, you can be out on the bus, on the ferry, or on the train, and you can update your team with some news directly from your mobile device. The interface is pretty slick. Certainly makes it nice and easy for capturing information. So nice, handy little option, again, that Microsoft's added to all SharePoint plans. Now, the other one, I don't know, have you seen this, Mark? The new docs.microsoft.com. Have you seen this new site from Microsoft?
Well, let me just quickly, on that topic, back in June, we talked about this, didn't we? New documentation site, and it was currently in preview. But now, all the Azure documentation, like literally within the last week, they've moved all the Azure documentation, which was based on GitHub, they've moved it to docs.microsoft.com, literally in one massive big bang. They did the whole lot in one hit literally a week ago.
Yeah, so again, we'll put this in the show notes, but again, if you go to docs.microsoft.com, you'll be able to get access to things like Windows documentation, Azure, Visual Studio, Office, which includes Office 365, Dynamics 365, Mobility, Security, SQL, and Xamarin. So again, it seems to be the central hub for all Microsoft's documentation and products going forward, which is pretty cool.
So it basically, the improvements include readability, the read time, content and site navigation, shortened article length, responsive design, community contribution, social sharing, friendly URLs, and website theming. It's a huge difference. It's really good.
Yeah, so again, we recommend people who need to dive into the documentation side of things on the Microsoft products to go and have a look at that. Certainly a central point now to start looking for all this, all the information from Microsoft. Anything else on the Azure side of the coin there?
Yeah, there's a few things. OpenAI. So AI is artificial intelligence. It's a non-profit AI research organization co-funded by Elon Musk and others. Microsoft AI and Research Group have announced a new partnership with OpenAI focused on making significant contributions to advance the field of AI. OpenAI chose Microsoft due to their deep learning research, ongoing commitment to AI, Azure support for open source technologies, the unique combination of high performance computing, as in the N series, which we talked about, designed for the most intensive compute workloads in relation to artificial intelligence and big data. So there's a link for there as well. We'll put a link in the show notes. Also, too, the other big news that came out just the other day was November 14, Rob, PowerShell turned 10 years old, and they did a happy birthday song a few months before at Ignite in the US. Don Jones did a session on PowerShell with Jeffrey Snover. Don Jones sung happy birthday to Jeffrey Snover live in front of quite a few people in the audience. So basically, to celebrate the 10-year anniversary, the PowerShell team just last week hosted a day-long event covering all things PowerShell, PowerShell and SQL, PowerShell and Azure Automation, the future directions of PowerShell, and heaps more. It's all online on the Channel 9 site. Jeffrey Snover, Ed Wilson, the scripting guy, and Kenneth Hansen, who is a lead principal program manager for PowerShell. They can all be seen. We'll put a link in the show notes as well. Also, too, last week was a huge, it was a very, very busy for Microsoft, especially the Channel 9 team. Microsoft's Connect was back again for another year. This time it was three full days from New York and on the West Coast. So it was both East and West Coast, where Microsoft made some big announcements in the past, like, say, open sourcing of .NET, open source of VS Code, introduction to VS Community Edition, and more. There were keynotes and deep dive technical sessions led by Executive Vice President Scott Guthrie, Principal Program Manager Scott Hanselman, and industry innovators sessions covering data intelligence and apps, mobile development, and also the Xamarin team, .NET. Also, to Visual Studio is now available on Macs, and quite a few other little announcements as well. So there's a lot of good content in there. As I said it before, it ran for 3 days. Some very good quality content. They basically ran them in half-hour blocks with all the guys. So we'll put a link in the show notes. But basically, if you want to have a look at that ahead of time, it's connectevent.microsoft.com. It's also channel9.msdn.com as well, is where you can find all the content.
So speaking of the 10-year anniversary of PowerShell,
yes,
did you read or see that that Windows, the most recent build, I think it's 14.9.7.1, is now replacing the command prompt in the start menu with PowerShell? So command prompt is being deprecated as an option in the start menu for PowerShell.
I didn't see that. No, that's. Wow.
There you go. You'll have to read the show. You'll have to read the links that we put in the show notes afterwards. But yeah, basically, from this build on, the command prompt's still there, but PowerShell is replacing it basically in the start menu and when you do the Windows key X. So another indication of the importance of PowerShell going forward as an option for doing things like scripting. So command line will still be there to run your batch files from the 1980s and perhaps the 1970s, but the new way to do all this sort of stuff is in PowerShell, and I think, Mark, that'd make you pretty happy, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I think it just means that anything that you would normally run in command prompt, you just run in PowerShell, and it would just, like, accept it. So stuff like CMD.
I think what you'll find is going to freak a lot of people out, especially some IT pros out there who seem to be a bit reticent about getting on the PowerShell bandwagon, but it is what it is, and we are moving forward. So, again, Yeah, been 10 years, exactly right. So again, plenty of options there, but again, I think it's a great move forward and indicates the way that we are moving with all this automation stuff, and obviously the things that PowerShell can do are way beyond what you could do in the old command line. So good to see, I think, and it will be interesting to see how well that's obviously accepted by the community, and I would think we would start to see that also roll into the server versions as well. So pretty cool there.
Yeah, look, PowerShell's definitely coming ahead, and some nice little changes to PowerShell version 5, which came out with Windows 10. And if you want to sort of check out all of those PowerShell changes, there is a good video if you search for Ignite US, which was back in late September, so only like a couple of months ago. Jeffrey Snover and Don Jones did a session on it, which went for just over an hour. In fact, it was quite a nice session. There was no slides. It was pure demo. Both Jeffrey Snover and Don Jones were talking about it together, like a pure demo. Definitely well worth it. It was like, because normally when you go to an event, there's probably roughly 50% slides, 50% demos, but this, because it was 100% demo, you got a lot more out of it than what you would normally.
Cool.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.